Welcome back to Our Broken Society. Today we have a special guest, Clara Soares from Brazil. Hey Clara, how are you?
I'm good, Carol, and you?
I'm doing pretty well. Clara is an amazing author with many published books, one of them being To Kill a Fae. So as an author, how do you think that this feeling of freedom is provided to people?
Well, in our society, I think we have this manufactured feeling of freedom, in which, like, we are free to do as we wish, but of course, within certain boundaries.
Yeah.
I think, right? So, like, for example, okay, you're, for example, if you don't want to get a job, if you want to study life, go around, travel the world, you know, but then that's viewed as going kind of against society that says that, okay, so you're basically like backpacking, you're maybe a bum. You don't want to work, you know, get a house, settle, have a family, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And this is the path society traces for you. And it's not a path that is right for everyone.
Right.
So you do have the freedom to do as you want. But a lot of people would like to do that. They maybe would like to travel and live without worrying about jobs and houses and kids or something like that.
Yeah.
But they are forced to not do that because society kind of like constricts that freedom in a way.
Yeah.
And that's just an example. There are several others. Yeah. But it's not necessarily always a bad thing as well, because, for example, then society, of course, if you kill someone, society is going to say, hey, you're not free to do that.
Exactly. So there are restrictions that are good, but then there's certain restrictions which really are unhealthy, do you think?
Yes.
Okay. And how much freedom do you think you have in your life in general?
Well, within my boundaries, a lot, I say. But that's because of the strategy with which I led my life so far. Mm-hmm. Which is not make a compromise. And I can give an example. So as a writer, right, you're basically seen as a bum as well.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, oh, the free spirits, they don't make any money. They just, you know, write, and that's not a real job. It's a hobby, right? And so because society views it like that, in the beginning, I had to graduate in business administration. Mm. When I moved to Europe, I was hired as an accountant. I had started in finance in Brazil as well, but, you know. And I was hired in finance and became an accountant. And I followed that path because society wouldn't allow me to try and make a living as a writer.
Yeah.
But I kind of overrode that in the moment that I said, okay, I don't care. I'm going to be a writer. You know, because it's very, like, people think that becoming a writer is easy. It's actually really, really, really hard.
Right.
And people who actually make it in writing are very, very lucky. They're like 1% of everyone who's trying. And so I thought, I'm going to follow my path slowly but surely. And so I started writing and then publishing, like, 2 books a year maybe for the last 5 years. And I got to the point where I could start diminishing my day job, which I call it the day job. And I started diminishing those hours to work more with the books because they were bringing more money.
Right. So you made a balance, basically.
Exactly. Exactly. So my what I would like to do at some point is like tip that balance over so that it's more writing than accounting. Mm-hmm. Right now, it's kind of already there because I don't work 4 days a week. I only work 3 days in the week.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. But I got to this point only because I had to start way back when doing both and really busting my ass off to really be able to produce and learn more about the craft, because it's always also about learning and knowing what's the market expectation. It's a world of things. It's not just the writing and the technique and the story. It's the marketing. It's the business analysis of things. It's everything. Huh?
Yeah.
And that helped me get there.
Right. And I think that that relates to a lot of artists in general. And I think that there are many people in the world who have amazing potential in every kind of art, fashion, design, writing, whatever it may be. And they don't pursue their dreams and they become another normal like person, you know, in society. And that's really scary to think about. Don't you think that that is just a group of people that have been outcasted because they're scared, of course, but there's so much talent that could change and revolutionize the world, you know?
Absolutely. And it's not rewarded by society.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. It's terrible. Like I know a guy, like I know not a guy, but several people actually who always, when they find out that I'm a writer, they always say, oh, if I had the time, I would write.
Yeah.
Right. And yeah. And now there's a pandemic. They have all the time in the world to write. And I've asked them, have you started your book? Oh no, it's been tough. I mean,
yeah,
it's clearly not as easy as people think, right? But they will not acknowledge that,
right? Yeah,
at all.
And why do you think we have a need to run away from society? I mean, in the sense of it becoming too much to handle, the pressures, and this can be totally subconscious in someone's mind, but the pressures being too much and just going off the grid, you know, a little too far, like no identification, lives in the middle of the woods, just like Into the Wild.
I definitely see where it comes from, you know, because society restricts you, then you look for a way out.
Yeah.
It's a lot harder to learn a way to go against society. Like it's a lot harder to do that than to escape.
Right.
And so people will then definitely try to escape. And sometimes that is the right decision for them.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's, you know, that's not a right decision. Sometimes it works, but most of the time, from what I've learned in my life is that we have a choice, like either to run away or to try to face society in the face and say, this is wrong. For example, Greta Thunberg.
Right.
Like for an example, like she's going against this big old man who see the world one way, and these old men are the ones shaping society, right? And she's going against him and she's saying, no, this is not right.
Yeah. And I think it takes, you know, a certain amount of courage and resilience, because she's definitely getting, you know, I wouldn't say beaten down, but getting multiple slaps in the face, and she's still there like, oh, no, yeah, sorry, I'm not leaving, kind of thing. So yeah, I can definitely see how that should be like an inspiration.
Exactly. She's being abused by trolls. Yeah.
Yeah. And do you think our problems are created by us, or is society molded to create problems? And that sounds crazy, right? Like society makes us have problems, but I do feel like certain topics are a cycle, you know, it's like you want a house, you don't have enough money, you get money from the bank, then you're in a huge amount of debt. And look how the circle just, you know, feeds off itself. So what do you think about that?
Oh, absolutely. I agree with you. I think these problems that we have, they are generated by society. Well, actually, they're generated by the way we react to the rules society imposes on us.
Yeah.
Right. So I think there's like the external and the internal.
Right.
The internal is how we handle those constrictions that society puts on us. And the external is those restrictions, which again are made by usually the elite.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right? Like the rich, the billionaires and government, you know, these are the people who are shaping society, and they've shaped it, I would say, not incorrectly. There's a lot of good things about society, but certain things are starting to have to change. They just have to change, right?
Right.
And so the moment that you have a clash between the internal and the external, then you know, okay, something has to change. But it lies a lot on how you react to it. Because this doesn't change easily. It's how you react to it that's maybe going to push back and then change.
Yeah, yeah. I can definitely see that. And now relating back to Into the Wild, I'm sure you're familiar with the story, but what is your personal opinion about it?
Well, I think I definitely understand why he did it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's a very brave thing to do. But at the same time, there is a lot of brave things to do that are not very smart.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, I like the concept of what he did. I don't like the way it ended.
Right. Which is why the story is so, I think, powerful, because it's a huge slap to what we think is freedom. Because it's like, nope, he ends up dying and that's it. You know, it's kind of like, oh my God.
Exactly. And dying of something that could have been easily handled if he had, you know. And that's the thing about going to the extreme, like really how do you put it? Like, you, that's the problem with running away, because you go from one extreme to the other, and we're not prepared for this other extreme.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and then he died on a very like silly, for a very silly reason, you know?
Yeah. I think that it's a whole build up to the story, you know, but it was definitely something that could be avoided. And if it was a fictional story, that would be a great ending, you know, like, oh, this happened and it was unfortunate. But because it's a real life story, I think that that's where a lot of like the, not pain, but a lot of the like power comes in it, right? Well, it was really nice interviewing you.
The pleasure was all mine.
Thanks again to Clara for coming on the podcast and sharing her amazing opinions and views on the subject. The next episode for Our Broken Society is going to be Understanding the Into the Wild story. So stay tuned.